Thank you for listening to the Calvary Church Podcast. For more information about the church, you can visit us online at toledocalvary.org or follow us on social media at Toledo Calvary.
So there was a practice in the ancient world that when someone would write a letter, when they would send greetings to somebody, part of what they would do is communicate a prayer for them. They would in some way express, even in a spiritual sense, if you will, some kind of prayer or best wishes, a brief statement that would request from, in that ancient time, the gods that they worshiped within the Roman Empire, the prosperity and health of the recipient. We have a letter from the second century. There was a young soldier, his name was Theonas, and he was writing home to his mother, whose name was Tethys, and he wrote in the letter's introduction, so this is a soldier's letter home to his mom, "Before all else, I pray that you are well. I myself am well, and make worship on your behalf to the gods here." So he was far from his mom, and yet he wrote her a letter and said he was praying for her. To me, that kind of sounds like maybe one of the first Mother's Day cards. And today is Mother's Day, and Mom, we want to say happy Mother's Day, especially if you're here today and you are a mom, you're a grandma, you're a mom-to-be. We want to encourage you and wish you a happy Mother's Day. And this guy knew something special in what he gave to his mom. Now, today's message is not a Mother's Day's message. It's one that we're going to apply to moms, and I think it's very fitting for moms, but it's not necessarily one that's specifically targeted just for moms today. We're actually going to look at what this soldier that we talked about did, because Paul did the same thing in many of his letters. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament, and many of his letters, or sometimes we call them epistles, one of the things that he would do is he would have a prayer for the people that he was writing to. And he did it in the book of Ephesians. He did it in Colossians. You see it in Romans. You see it in Thessalonians. You'll see where Paul has these prayers that he prays for people. One of them is in the book of Philippians. It's short. He kind of builds it up if you read the context at the beginning of it. And then he has this short prayer that he prays, and it's the prayer we're going to look at today. In fact, we're going to make it our own. In fact, I want to pray this for you today. I want you to pray it for the people in your life. I hope we'll pray it for each other here together. Here's what Paul says for Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God." Sometimes we can read these prayers in scripture and they kind of just become words, because many times I'm looking for a story. I'm looking for a narrative. I'm looking for something I can follow. And the prayers are easy to just kind of wash over. But if you ever want to know that you're actually praying God's will for someone, one of the best ways to do it is to pray scripture. So we're going to pray this scripture today. I hope this is not just meaningful for us today, but maybe helpful for you if you're new to a life of prayer, new to scripture, to literally take God's word and then pray it for yourself, pray it for others. And out of this passage, I've got three prayers for you. That's the title of this message today. I have three prayers for you. And the first one is this. Number one, I pray for love. Today, we're going to pray for love. Here's what Paul says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." I think it's interesting that this very prayer that Paul prays right out of it here in Philippians chapter 1, at the core of it is the idea that he wants those he's praying for to be filled with love. Why does love matter so much? I mean, we talk about it often in church. We read about it a lot in scripture. Why is it that love is so important? Well, look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Did you hear that? Love is what holds it all together. All the other virtues, all the other fruit of the Spirit, all the other good things that can happen in our lives, what holds it all together is love. If love is missing, if somehow the things you do aren't motivated by love, if they're not filled with love, then the chances are, if love is missing, then even some of the best things in our lives can begin to fall apart. We know this as a parent. Maybe you've experienced this as a spouse. It's true in every one of your relationships. Love is what holds us together. Love holds my motivations rightly. Love keeps me from giving up. Love focuses me when I'm frustrated. Love energizes me when I need perspective. And we talk about love in so many different ways. What kind of love is Paul talking about here? Well, I think he talks about it in the general sense, right? He's talking about the love we have for God and the love we have from God. He's talking about the love that God gives to us. It's also the love that God gives through us. God can love through us to other people. And then I think he's just talking about the love that we have for the important, the essential, the people that are in our lives. What is love then? Like, what does that even mean? One of the most iconic passages on love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know for many of us, we've heard it so many times. We've read it many times. You've seen it on a wall in a home, or you've seen it in a greeting card. Years ago, I had this one Saturday where I was doing two weddings. It was, I don't know if I've ever done it since. It was this really unique opportunity where in the morning around 11 o'clock, I did a wedding for a young man that used to be in our kids' church here when I was the kids' pastor. And then in the afternoon, probably about 3, I did a wedding for a longtime friend who had been a part of the church for a long time. And so I did both of those weddings on the same day. And I can remember when I was meeting with the couple separately, when I met with the couple that was getting married in the morning, the bride-to-be looked at me and she said, "Now look, you can do whatever you want in the ceremony, but absolutely you have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I just, you have to read that. I love that passage so much." And then the bride that got married in the afternoon, individually, when we met with them, she looked at me and she said, "Now you can do whatever you want in the ceremony, but whatever you do, do not read 1 Corinthians 13. It has been read so many times, so many places, and I love that passage, but I don't want it a part of my wedding." And I was pretty nervous that day that I made sure I got them right? That I read 1 Corinthians 13 in the right one and that I didn't read it in another one. And here's the deal, we are very familiar with that passage. It can be one that we kind of dismiss. But listen closely to what love really is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Paul says, "Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And then Paul says, "Love never fails." I was reading that not too long ago, just kind of in my own daily Bible reading. And I felt like as I was reading that, I thought, okay, so those are all the things love is. And I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of prompted me, but is that what Chad is? Like, does your life exemplify those things that you read about in that passage? See, the prayer we're looking at in Philippians chapter 1, love is at the very center because love holds everything together. We have the qualities there of what love looks like. And Paul even tells us, 1 Corinthians 13:13, that there's three things that will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, the greatest is love. So if love is so important, what does Paul pray for? Well, first he says, "I pray for love to grow." He says, "I want your love to abound. I want you to have it more and more. I want it to grow inside of your heart." And some of you know what that's like when you have a relationship, when you have a moment when God changes you. I was talking recently to a dad. He's probably in his 30s. He's got some young kids at home. And he said, "You know, I used to think I knew what love was. And then when my kids were born, then something changed inside of me." He says, "I love God differently. I see God's love for me differently. I love my kids in a way that I can't even begin to explain and understand." And there are these moments and these times when God will work in our lives, when he will help us to have the love in our lives grow and grow more and more. When is it that it feels like your love is in short supply? Have you ever been there? When honestly, it's like it's hard for you to love. I think it's oftentimes when we're tired or when we're frustrated, when we're disappointed, Some of us, it's hard for us to love because of situations where we were hurt or wounded. A lot of times it's hard for us to love when we don't feel loved ourselves. Like, a part of what we want to pray for today is, especially if you struggle with the thought of, does God really love me? Does God care about me? How would God ever extend his love to me? Here's a quick story I just read recently, that if you're going to file it somewhere, you can file it in the category of you will do better in Toledo. There was a guy who lives in Florida, and he was driving home one night, and he lived in this community that had a couple little lakes and ponds around in it. And as he was driving, he noticed off to the side of the road what looked like a man lying on the side of the road. And when he looked over, the man's legs were in the mouth of an alligator. And he pulled over real quick, and he realized it was his neighbor, Rick. And Rick goes, "Walter, help me out." And he said, "Walter, get in your truck and run over this alligator, and then maybe he'll let me out of his mouth." And sure enough, it's what he did. Walter jumped in the truck. He ran over the alligator. The alligator opened his mouth, and Rick was able to come out. The alligator went in the water, and Rick had some puncture wounds, but he's going to be okay. It's this crazy story of how when one neighbor saw another, he was willing to do something because he cared for him, that literally saved that guy's life. And some of us wrestle with, does God love me? Are we loved? Now that's a crazy story. And I'm glad I live in Ohio, not alligator country. But I can apply that same lesson in a lot of different ways. I'm so thankful for the people that have shown love to me in my life. People that have sacrificed, that have given, that literally some people who, because of what they've done, my life is different. But more than anyone else, I'm so thankful for Jesus, that Jesus was willing to not just run over an alligator. He literally laid down his life. He died on the cross for your sins and for mine, so that you could know forgiveness. One of the things that naturally comes out of love is forgiveness. Jesus did it so that you could know life, so that you could know him, so that you could know relationship. And I'll tell you right at the outset of what we're talking about today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know his forgiveness, you can know it today. I pray for your love to grow, and I pray for love in your life to know. What do you mean, Chad? Well, Paul makes this very practical. He prays that we would know love with knowledge and depth of insight. What he's saying here is, look, love is more than just a feeling. It's not just some mushy warmth that you have inside. Love allows you to know how to care for, how to give to, how to meet the needs of another person. And look, if you're in a situation where it is hard for you to love right now, not just to feel loved, but to actually love another person, I believe that our prayer today is one where we can ask the Lord to help us, to fill you with love, maybe even a way that's gonna surprise you. So what I wanna do a couple times here today is, as we go through this message, I wanna stop and I wanna pause and I wanna pray. And the first place where we wanna pray today is for our moms. Because if there's anyone that I think God has the power to show love through in people's lives, it's the power of their moms, the words they say, the things that they do. And moms, you have such an important role in the lives of the children that God has entrusted to you. And we don't wanna do anything kinda strange or unique. I know that this day can be difficult for a lot of people, but we do wanna take time and pray for our moms today. So I wanna invite Leah Loran to come to the platform, and Leah's gonna take a moment, and she's gonna lead us in a prayer as we honor and bless our moms today.
Well, I know that we have tons of moms who are sitting in here today, maybe watching online, but I know that we also have a ton of moms who are maybe, what do we call them, moms in waiting? It's not where you are yet in life. Maybe there's some of us who never had that experience, or maybe some of us have been a mom and now our kids are big and now you're a grandma and you're moving into those next stages of life. The thing that I love about us ladies is that there's always love to give, right? And so not only do we mom some of our own children, but I've seen moms all through my life who have loved loved others. And so not only do we want to celebrate our moms today, but we want to celebrate the ladies at Calvary who pour out that love to maybe those that God has given you naturally, but also to those that maybe God has given you through adoption or through foster, maybe to the kid that lives next door who didn't have a great home situation, maybe to a niece or a nephew. There's all types of ways that the Lord has allowed us to pour out that love that he gives us as ladies. And so today we are going to pray for our moms, but I want to pray for all of us that we would grow in that knowledge of our love that Christ has for us, and that we would more than anything almost like have God's eyes to know who he wants us to give that love to, that we would have this extra inpouring of Christ's love into us that allows us to overflow into those around us, whether they're little or big, that just need that extra kind of mom in their life. So ladies, we are going to pray today, but really quick, I just want to pause and say just what Pastor Chad had said. Man, ladies, I encourage you that if you do not know that love that Christ has for you, maybe you've known it in the past and there's doubts have crept into your mind and the things that tell you you are not worthy, man, dig in. Take that to the Lord. Dig in. Find studies to go through and learn that love that Christ has for you so that it can pour out into others. So gentlemen, I would encourage you, if you can grab a hand of a lady next to you, preferably a lady you know, not just a random lady, but let's place a hand on another hand, on a shoulder, as we pray for our ladies today. Lord, thank you so much that you pour into us and allow us to be a light for you. Lord, that as moms on this earth, we are not only here to love others, but to point people to you. Lord, I pray for every lady that is in this room, maybe watching online. Lord, you know exactly where her heart is right now. You know the mom that needs to be refreshed. You know the mom that needs just an extra dose of your love so that she can pour it out in a hard situation, somewhere where maybe her voice is not being heard, Lord God, or where she feels like the seeds that she's planting aren't taking root. Lord, I pray for the mom whose cry is to have a child or to be in that season of life, Lord God, that you would just comfort her, that you would bring her the desires that you have. Lord, I thank you so much that you allow all of us to love in different seasons and in different ways. So as a church, Lord God, allow us to go into our community and to love people in ways that point them back to you. Lord, thank you so much for loving us, filling us up so that we can pour out and love others. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I want to go back to the prayer that we have from the Apostle Paul. The first thing he told us to pray for was for love. Here's the second thing, number two. Today, I want to pray for discernment. Number two, I want to pray for discernment. Why discernment? Well, here's what Paul says in that prayer. First, he prayed that you would know God's love, that it would abound in your life more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. And then Paul says this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Why? So that you may be able to discern what is best. One of the things that love will allow us to do is to have discernment. Love will give us focus and clarity and courage to be able to discern the things in our lives that are the best. And we need that in so many different ways. I'll give you a challenge that I had recently. I've had the same trimmer for mowing my lawn for a long time, and it died. And so I needed to get a new one, hadn't bought one in a long time, so I did what I typically do. First, I jumped online, and the more I looked at things, the more I got confused about what I really was kind of looking for, and I thought, well, then I'll just go to the store. And so I went to the store, and I went to one hardware store, and I was in there, and I'll just be honest, I was overwhelmed, and I didn't have anybody to help me, and I was just kind of looking at different things, and I'm trying to ask different questions, and I said, I'm gonna go to another store. So I hopped in my car, went over to another hardware store, and I'm looking around at things, and I'm trying to make decisions, right? Like how much do I wanna spend? Do I want this trimmer to be gas or battery? And how much power do I really need? I know how much power I want, but how much power do I really need? And I was thankful that after I was kind of searching around for a little while, one of the employees came over and said, hey, can I help you? And he knew the products. He listened to what I was saying. He understood kind of the task that I had. And he was able to point me not only to the one that would best serve my needs, but what was on sale and how I could get a bonus, you know, tools with that and different things that would come with that. I was thankful that I had someone who would come alongside of me, help me to make a decision, help me discern what is best. And that's the purpose of this prayer, right? Because you might not be looking for a trimmer. That's just a casual, that's a trivial thing in our lives. The decisions you're making, those are decisions where we really need God's help, where we need his discernment. Doesn't life come with a lot of options? I mean, probably just this last week, you've had things that came and knocked on your door where you need discernment to know what to do. Maybe it was temptation. Maybe it was something that was a distraction in your life. Sometimes it's even good things that in that moment are not the best things. And Paul prays that the people would be able to discern. In fact, I love the language that the New Living Translation uses. It says that I want you to understand what really matters. In your life, are you living for the things that really matter? Like, are you overwhelmed by all the things around you, or have you been able to say, God, will you give me the discernment to choose what really matters? Like, why is it that sometimes we make bad decisions? I think sometimes we make those bad decisions. Let's go back to what we already prayed for love. We make those bad decisions when we do not feel loving in our lives. And oftentimes we make bad decisions when we don't feel loved in our lives. So what are we praying for here today? Well, first I pray for clarity. If you are making decisions in your life right now, if you need discernment from the Lord, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit gives you clarity. I honestly believe this, that in the same way that physically the hardware employee was able to come over and help me make a decision, the Holy Spirit can come into our lives when we ask him, when we seek him. James chapter 1 says, if we need wisdom, ask. He'll come alongside and God will give you the wisdom that you need. He'll give you the clarity that you need. He'll help you to see and understand what it is that you are looking for. And he will help you to know what is best. I love that that's the word that is in this passage of scripture. Not just what's good, not just what's okay, not just what will work, but what God wants for your life. Some of you need to maybe think about this and actually believe this, that what God wants is what is best. So God, will you give me clarity so that I'll know what is best? Have you ever been in a restaurant, maybe you're with your family or some friends, and you've never been there before, and so you gotta pick something off the menu. You look and you're between a few things and finally you decide on something. And then when the food comes, you look at yours and it's okay. I mean, it might even be good, but you look at what somebody else has. I have this tendency that when my food comes, I see what Rhonda got and I think, oh, that would have been the best thing. Like, that's what I should have. Nobody likes that feeling. Nobody likes those regrets. Some of us have known them. Some of us maybe even feel like we live in them. And remember, God doesn't want you to feel condemnation, but that he will come alongside and he'll help you to choose and know what is best. I thought, what did that mean for the new believers when Paul said that? When Paul was writing this to a new church in a city called Philippi, he told them just before this prayer, look, God will finish the work he's beginning in you. God is going to bring to completion the good things he wants to do in your life. God wants his best for you. So I pray that you will have clarity to see that. And I pray for courage, because if you're going to choose to do what is best, you're going to need courage. Choosing what is best may mean that at some point you have to say no to what is good. It may mean that you have to choose the hard thing now so that you can have the benefits of that later. It might mean that there's a change that has to come. What is best is always going to cost something. And some of you are making decisions in some part of your life right now where when you hear that part of the prayer that Paul says, I pray that you may be able to discern what is best. You say, wow, with my kids, I need insight right now. With my family, my schooling, My job, my health, my spiritual relationship, the decisions I'm making, maybe even about what to do or where to live or how to handle my money. There's these decisions that you have. And I'll be really honest with you, as I've looked at this day, we were trying to figure out how to do this day. I felt very strongly that I know this kind of video setup isn't optimal, but that this was a word that was important for today, and especially at this moment right? That some of you are making critical decisions in your life. You want what is best. And there's a moment where God says, I can help you. I can give you clarity. I can give you courage if you'll ask me to. And so today, I know it's a little strange when a guy on a video prays for people in a room, but would you, if you're here today and you would say, Chad, I'm in a moment of decision and I need to be able to discern what is best, would you just stand right where you are? Would you just go ahead and stand if you need God's direction? And I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that if we need wisdom, you'll give it. And your word shows us that you want what is best for us, that you have what is your best for us. And Lord, many of us today need discernment from you. We need to know what to say yes to, and we need to know what to say no to. We need to know how to handle difficult situations. We know how to lead those that you have entrusted into our care. We need to have discernment and wisdom for the things you've entrusted to us. And we need to have your insights into the things that we don't have in our lives, God. And we're making decisions, we're making choices. And what we need is help from you. And Holy Spirit, I know right now, even right now in this moment, you can give clarity. Father, that there are people that right now in this moment, the decisions they're making, you are making very clear. You're helping them. You're guiding them. You're giving them direction, and you're giving them clarity. And Lord, for others, there's a courage that's needed to say, I'm going to do what is best. I'm going to pursue what is best and trust you with those things. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help those who are standing. Help those who have responded today. Give them clarity and courage to discern what is best in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, you can be seated. I want to take you into just the last thing, the third prayer that we'll look at today, and it's this, number three. I pray for legacy. Number three, I pray for legacy. Kind of a unique thing to say here. Here's what I want to show you that Paul says. Remember, he told he was going to pray for love, that it may abound more and more in their lives. And then he says this, verse 10. He says, I pray so that you may be able to discern what is best. We just talked about that. And that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He prays that you and I, that his readers, will be pure and blameless. The idea of pure is that there's no mixture of evil inside, right? That everything is right. It's the way that it's supposed to be. That's kind of an internal statement. I pray that something is pure. Nobody wants to eat anything that has ingredients that have gone bad in it. If you've got sour milk, it'll wreck the whole recipe. So he says, look, you want what's inside of you to be pure. And then he says, I want you to be blameless. What that means is that there's nothing offensive, that there's nothing about you that is offensive to God or to other people. This has a little bit more to do, not just what's internal, but also what's external, what it is that comes out of us. Recently, I was kind of hunting for a new guitar, right? I kind of play guitar at home. I'm not any good, but I tell myself I am, and it's just kind of a fun hobby. And there's a guitar that I've kind of just, back of my mind, I thought, man, if I ever found one at the right price, I'd buy one of those. And I had told my buddy this, and he said, hey, I saw one online that somebody's selling locally. You might want to take a look at it. And the price was right. It was kind of exactly what I would have looked for. But then as I looked at the pictures, what I saw was at some point somebody didn't take very good care of the guitar. I think I was looking at this, and the person selling it was already the second or third owner. And there were quite a few scratches, and there were places where you could look and see that if you looked at it, there were things that just were not right. Things that just, I just looked at it and said, you know what, I'm gonna skip on this. I'm not gonna buy this thing. And the Bible tells us when Paul prays here, he prays that things will be right inside and out. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. I'm not saying that you've not made mistakes. What he's praying here is God can work in your life, and he can take the scratches and the dents. He can take the things that are not right on the inside, and he can change you, and he can make you new. And you don't have to be rejected, and you don't have to be forgotten, and you don't have to give up. He says God's power at work in your life can give you a legacy of things that are right. Here's a prayer. I pray for things to be right inside and out. If you look at your outside and you say, look, I'm damaged goods, you don't have to give up. You don't have to say that God can't use you. If you look at what's on the inside and you say, well, things just aren't right, Paul's prayer says that God can take those things and he can make you new. He can bring forgiveness. He can bring restoration. If there's something in your life that you say, it's not pure, I'm not blameless, then this whole prayer is to say, Jesus, will you help me with those things? That he can make you right on the inside and on the outside. And here's what else he can do. Here's a prayer. I pray for things to be right now and forever. I pray for things to be right now and forever. We go through different seasons in our lives. And what Paul prays is that you will be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, which means the way you live today is in preparation for the day that Jesus is going to come again. And he says that this is such an important thing because he says that I want you to be, in verse 11, he says, I want you to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. This is a really cool analogy because when he uses this language, filled with the fruit of righteousness, there's this visual picture of an orchard, of a tree that is literally weighed down with good fruit. Lives that produce good fruit. The Bible says this over and over again. Look at this, Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. So what am I praying? The last prayer that we want to pray today is for your legacy. And I pray for a harvest of legacy, that you will have fruit in your life, in your family, for generations. That as God makes you right on the inside and out, as he makes you right today, so you'll be right for the day you stand before him, that you will have a life that bears good fruit, that you'll have a harvest of legacy. I'm so thankful for people that have prayed for me, people that have invested in me, people whose lives have made a difference in my life and in many of your own, because out of their lives there was a harvest of legacy. I know families, I know many of you, even in the different seasons of life that you're in your families, your focus is God. Would you give us a harvest of legacy, of good fruit? Would you produce something in us, Lord, that is fruitful and that makes a difference for years to come? Like what is the fruit you wanna see in your life? What do you want your legacy to be? Today may be the day that you choose. We recently hosted an event for some people, and as a part of that, we had picked up some desserts and we had grabbed a tray of some fruit. And so the night of the event, we had the desserts out, we had the fruit out, and we had, you know, people that were there coming and going, and I walked by everything and I was leading the event. And so I started to get something. I was like, oh, I'll grab something later. I got to get this thing going. So I didn't touch any of the desserts yet. I hadn't had any of the fruit. And a little while later, we had a little break in the midst of the event. And I was kind of walking around, and Rhonda walked up to me and she says, well, the fruit's gone. And I said, oh, is it? And she said, yeah, we had to throw it away. And I said, why? And she said, because it was nasty. Like when we bought it, we thought it was great, but something wasn't right about it. Like it was spoiled. And you could just look at it and go, something's not right there. You it had a smell to it that wasn't right. And when you tasted it, you just went, oh, that's, something's gone wrong there. Man, I don't want that to be the fruit of my life. Like, what do you want the fruit of your life to be? What do you want your legacy to be? How do you want to live so that, not measured by worldly or earthly success, but when you stand before Jesus, and especially even in the eyes of those who will come after you, will they see your life pointing to Jesus? will they see what's called here fruit of righteousness? Will they see Jesus at work in your life? And maybe today's the day where some of you need to take a good hard look at your own lives and say, Jesus, I want you to work in my life to create good fruit. I want to invite Pastor Lindsay Schaefer, our kids pastor, to come to the platform. She's going to close us out in prayer today as we ask God to create a harvest, a legacy of good fruit in our lives, which is a really meaningful prayer, especially on this Mother's Day.
Good morning. So many things to think about. It is not always easy to have clarity to see the best. It is definitely not always easy to have the courage to do the best, right? But He knows what is best. Would you stand with me? I want you to think about the seeds that you're going to start planting in your life today to build that harvest, that legacy. What are the things that you want to be intact for years to come, long after you're gone? What are the things that you would have God place in your daily life? The way that you treat people, the way that you speak to people, the way you think about them, the way you carry yourself, all of those things. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for today, and I thank you for a beautiful Mother's Day. I thank you for every mother and caregiver in this room, and I pray that you would bless them. God, I thank you for such a timely word as this, God, that we would see the right things to do, God, the best things to do, God, that you would give us clarity and that you would give us courage to then do those things. God, I pray that we would be pure and blameless inside and out, God, from now until forever. Lord, that's so hard for us to see because we see what we've done. We see our past, and we thank you so much for your forgiveness that allows us to move forward. God, I pray that starting today, we would begin to plant seeds that would build a harvest, God, of fruit in our lives that would come for years and years to come. God, that a legacy would be built, and God, legacy not for fame for ourselves, God, but to make your name known, God, that we would make you famous. God, would you challenge each heart in this room today with something they specifically, that I specifically can do to plant a seed to grow fruit for you, God, to build a legacy. Lord, I thank you so much. I pray that you would go with us today. We know that your plans are bigger than ours. You're more creative than we are. And I'm so excited to see the fruit of what you're going to do after today's prayers. God, we thank you so much for it. Would you be with us this day in Jesus' name? Amen. Oh, it's so good. All right. Well, have a wonderful and blessed Mother's Day. Make somebody smile and have a great day.